Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with our Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministry. And we're so excited this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for our Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. I just give God all the praise, all the glory, all the honor on today. I just bless his holy name today. We're going to get ready to study God's word together, but we're going to have we're going to get ready to study God's word together. We're going to have a short devotion. We're going to start with we're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer this evening by the grace of God. I'm going to be reading from Psalms 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I would trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rent my word. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they want wait for my soul. They gather together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape my iniquity and thy anger? Cast down my people, O God. Thou tellest my wandering, but thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thou vow art upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wait, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of his the living. I have just read you from Psalms 56. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song, then we're going to pray.
I'll never be more alone than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do today. Your friends take a trophy, and then you are. I'll never be more alone than I am right now. Oh.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind that called me out. You were crossing ocean, so I wouldn't try. You've never been closer than you are right now. You are a child. You are the child, you are love. And I will be perfect in every circumstance. You are child, you are
from the mountain top. I can see so clear when it's all done. She stayed
by my side when the sun goes down. No one forget what she was.
We come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this evening. Father, I come right now, God, humbly before your throne of grace, just giving you all the praise tonight, God. I give you all the glory. I magnify your holy name on tonight, God. I come right now, God, asking you to move me from myself, God. Let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach us tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Then, Lord, I ask you on tonight, in the name of Jesus, to open up our minds and open up our hearts that we may be able to receive your word just like you wrote it, God, just like you spoke it, God. In the name of Jesus, I come right now, God, humbly before your throne, God, just asking you to let your anointing fall tonight in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit fall, God. Let your power fall, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you tonight, God, to let the anointing come in the name of Jesus. I ask you to send fire down from heaven in the name of Jesus. Do it tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to teach us tonight, God. Let your anointing fall tonight. Then I bind up every strong man. I bind up every strong man, God. In the name of Jesus, I bind up every strong man in every house of every member of this church ministry. In the name of Jesus, in everyone that's listening, I bind up the strong man. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bind up every witch. I bind up every warlock. I bind up every demon. I bind up every wizard. I bind up every psychic. I bind you up. I cast you out. I command you to go. Every portal, every portal, hallelujah, that's open, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in any house, whatever portal it is, in the name of Jesus, from any member of any of our church, of this ministry, on anybody on this radio broadcast, I ask you tonight, Father, to close every portal. Hallelujah. Close it now, God, in the name of Jesus. I say it, close now. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. In the name of Jesus. Go now. In the name of Jesus, you have no power and you have no authority. I'm talking to you. You know who I'm talking to. Go now. In the name of Jesus, before I have to come. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, God, to just make it clear. Make your word clear to us, God. Make it clear. Make it plain, God. Make it simple. In the name of Jesus, that children will understand this word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. We're going to start reading at chapter 5, I think it is. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and everyone that have an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female shall be put out without the camp, shall ye be put them, that they defile not the camp, their camp, in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses. So did the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, that person be guilty. Then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest besides the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. In every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hollow thing shall be his. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the man. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an elf of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy and an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord, and the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and in the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water, and the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and pour the offering of the memorial in her hand, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man have lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from the bitter water that causes the curse. But if thou has gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled and some man have lain with thee besides thy husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath cursing, and the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord maketh thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doeth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell, and this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowel to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the offering before the Lord and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take an handful full of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he have made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be cursed among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and shall conceive seed. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband, and is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law, then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity.
Amen. Chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine, a strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled, in the which he separates himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself, the Lord, all the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he has defiled the head of his congregation, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering and make an atonement for him for that he sinned by the dead and shall hollow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of the separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for a peace offering, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offering. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord with the basket of the unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram and one unleavened cake out of the basket and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the head of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave before the Lord. This is holy for the priest with the wave offering and heave shoulder. And after that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who have vowed and of the offering unto the Lord for his separation. Besides that his hand shall get according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the law of his separation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, oh, this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Huh?
You
what
say you this last part of the song.
That's a benediction.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, our first question is, what did a man do if he felt his wife had been unfaithful? What did he do?
Did he tell the priest?
Yeah, they usually take the woman to the priest. He would take the woman to the priest. Let me see. Then shall a man bring, let me see.
Verse 15.
I think so. But it says, yeah, okay. But that's for jealousy.
That's for jealousy?
He said, what did a man do if he felt his wife, if she was unfaithful to him? Let me see, a man lie with her. Let me see. Okay, speak unto the, this is 12, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, if any man's wife go aside, that's being unfaithful, and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept closed, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy cometh on him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy cometh on him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, that's right, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ounce of barley meal, and he shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy and an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. Okay. Yeah, it was verse 15. If a woman was guilty of unfaithful, what would happen to her? Yeah, it's in there. Because that was really something.
Her belly would swell of the drink.
And her thigh would rot. I'm trying to see what verse it is.
21 and 22.
Then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing, and the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doeth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. That's something. It'll keep your stuff closed up. Okay, chapter 6. What was the requirement to be a Nazarite? Chapter 6.
Okay.
Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when either man or woman should separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine, strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat marsh grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in that which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow. In all the days that he separate himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. So in order for him to vow to be a Nazarite, that was the requirement. He could not cut his hair, drink wine or grapes, eat grapes or raisins, or touch any defiled thing for an appointment of time. He couldn't do it. What did a Nazarite do? And that's in verse 5. What did a Nazarite do? I guess all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days of fulfillment in that which he separate himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of his hair on his head grow. All right. He wholly served the Lord, and he remained pure for his appointed time. He had to stay pure. He couldn't cut his hair. He couldn't drink no wine. He couldn't do no unholy thing because he vowed a vow unto the Lord. And it's just like us when we on a fast or we on a consecration. That's what this is all about. That's exactly what it's about. I'm going to try to read it.
So
what commentary
is a Nazarite? You get attention close to God. What is a Nazarite?
Yeah, a Nazarite is like a person, a consecrated person, because, you know, I just read that over in Acts where Peter and John, they was casting demons out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't just say Jesus, they said Jesus of Nazareth. And over in the book of Acts, I was reading that this morning, you know, I was just seeing the difference. We don't say Jesus of Nazareth because Jesus was a Nazarite. That was his, a race. That was his race. So, because he was Joseph's, the carpenter's son. And you'll hear some people say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Mm-hmm. A Nazarite is a consecrated person or somebody that vowed unto God, unto the Lord. It's more than that to it, but that's the main thing right there. Jesus was a Nazarite. Mm-hmm. So let me probably read some and see if I can get you any understanding. I'm just going to read the commentary, verses 1 through 4. The Old Testament times, it was not proper for an unclean person to enter into a holy place. It was not proper for an unclean person to mix with other people. In the camp, people might be unkind to a person with an infectious disease. That's why they was having them put the leprosy lady out, or man. With infectious disease of the skin. Infection means the disease can spread from one person to another. So people with infectious disease of the skin live together outside the camp where they would be safe. Also, the people inside the camp would be safe because the disease would not spread. Outside means at the edge of the camp. They lived in caves or in tents there. Everyone was unclean sometimes. There was many reasons why a person was unclean. it did not mean just that the person needed to wash their hands or body. Leviticus chapter 15 and Numbers chapter 19 describes the law about this. For example, a person became unclean if they had a disease of the skin. They might give the disease to another person. A person became unclean if the blood or other liquids come out of the sex part of their body. A disease might have caused this. Also, women were unclean during the time of their month when they were bleeding. A person who touched a dead human body was unclean for a week. God was living among the Israelites in a special way in God's tent. Anyone who came near to God's tent had to be clean. God is not like a man. He is holy completely. There were different ways that people became unclean, so there were different rules about this. Some people who were unclean had to separate themselves from the rest of the camp. Others, people had to wash in a special way. Today, people do not need to follow these rules in order for God to accept them. Everything changed when Jesus came. He touched people who had diseases of the skin. He cured them. He touched dead people and they became alive again. However, people who did not believe in Jesus are unclean because of their sins. They cannot come near to God. The only way to come near to God is by means of Jesus. We must believe that Jesus died as a sacrifice for us. And if we repent, his blood cleans us from all our sins. Okay. Chapter 5 from 11 through 31. Then the Lord said unto Moses, speak to the Israelites. Wait a minute. I know. Wait a minute. Okay, verses 5 through 6. Do a wrong act properly refers to Leviticus, refers to Leviticus 6, 1 through 5, about a person who takes something for himself and when he is not honest about the matter. All sins against other people are sins against God, too. In this passage, God reminds Moses of this fact. The law of Israel were much more strict than the law of other nations. A person had to confess that they had done a wrong act, but this was not enough. Also, they had to pay money to the person against whom they had done the wrong act. This amount of money paid for any loss or damage. Then the guilty person had an extra one-fifth of the amount. They had to give that too. So God taught the Israelites that it cost a lot to sin. It cost the day a lot to sin. If a person was really sorry, they would be glad to pay more. They showed that they were sincere. Also, when a person paid this money, the other person had to forgive him or her. The other person must not try to do another wrong act against the guilty person. Verses 8 through 10, the guilty person had to pay money even if the other person had died. The dead person's relatives received the money instead. If the relatives were all dead, the guilty person had to pay the priest. The priest was God's representative. This law was very important. The Israelites were preparing to march together to the promised land. There had to be no quarrels between them. They had to respect God and other people. This law laid to prevent crimes. It helped people whom other people had hurt in any way. Also, it helped people who had hurt other people. They could show God that they were sorry. Then they could forgive them. verses 11 through 14. Families were very important to the Israelites. They kept records of their ancestors. If a man's wife had sex with another man, this was a serious crime. Her husband could not be certain that he was the father of her children. God's law warns husbands and wives that they must never be unfaithful to each other. The punishment for this crime was death, but there had to be evidence. The husband had to prove that his wife was guilty. If the husband had no evidence, he could not follow the instructions in the passage, in this passage, and then God would act as the judge. It is likely that many innocent women carried out this ritual because they were innocent and they would not be afraid to follow the ritual. God would protect them, but if a woman was guilty, she would be very afraid of God's judgment. So probably she would tell her husband that she was guilty first, and she would hope that he would forgive her or she might run away. However, if a woman was not guilty of adultery, this ritual proved this fact to her husband and everyone else. Her husband would not be able to punish her. He had to take her back to live with him as his wife again. So this ritual provided God's protection for innocent women. The passage includes details about this ancient ritual. It records the words that the people had to say. The husband had and his wife went to the priest with an offering. Barley was a type of cheap grain. The man did not add oil or incense to the offering, so it was like a poor man's offering for when someone was unclean. Holy water in verse 17. Holy water was water that the priest kept in God's tent. The priest mixed it with dust. Also, he mixed it with the ink that he had used to write the curses. This was not magic. The water and the dust were symbols. Perhaps the dust reminded the people that the unclean snake ate dust in Genesis chapter 3:14. Perhaps it reminded them also that God had made people from dust, Genesis 2:7. However, we could not be certain because the passage does not explain the meaning. Then the priest must untie the woman's hair. This shows that the woman was unclean. People who had diseases of the skin had to untie their hair. The bitter water brings a curse. The water was not just bitter because it tasted bad. It was bitter because it could cause bad things to happen. If the woman was guilty, she would not be able to have babies. In the Israelite society, this was a bad thing to happen to a woman. A woman who was not able to have babies felt very sad. But if the woman were not guilty, the water would not hurt her. It proves that she was innocent. This passage reminds us that adultery is a serious sin. God does not want husbands or wives to be unfaithful. Adultery hurts people and destroys families. But also we need to remember that God forgives sin if people are sorry. Jesus forgave a woman who had been unfaithful. He did not punish her. However, he told her that she must not sin again. Also, Paul warns people that they must not continue in sin in this way. If they did continue, they could not belong to the church. God's people must not be unfaithful to their husbands or wives. Also, it's bad for a husband to suspect his wife without evidence. It can destroy her love for him. It can destroy his love for her. It can destroy her love for him. Husbands must be able to trust their wives. Wives must be able to trust their husbands. By means of this ritual, God showed everyone whether a woman was guilty or innocent. Okay. Any questions about that chapter? Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter 6. The word Nazirite is from the Hebrew word Nazar. Nazara means to separate someone or something from everything else for a special purpose. The Nazirite's special purpose was to give themselves to God completely for a period of time. Nazirites were not priests. A person chose to become a Nazarite. Women could become Nazarites too, but in this passage and note, we have used the word he to make it easier to read. A person did not have to be a Nazarite for all of his life. He promised to give himself to God completely for a particular period of time. This period of time varied. When his time as a Nazarite finished, he had to bring sacrifices to God. Then he was free from the promise. They made a vow or a promise to the Lord. It's just like consecration. It was usual for the Israelites to make promises to God. Usually people promised to give or to do something for God. People became Nazarites for different reasons. Perhaps they had problems that had made them depend on God only, so they wanted to show this when they gave themselves to him completely. Nazarites made special promises. In verse 2, the Hebrew word for to make a promise means to do something wonderful or extraordinary. Nazarites had to obey special rules. God did not allow them to eat grapes or raisins, grapes that people had dried in the sun, or to drink alcohol or vinegar, a type of sour wine. A Nazarite could never become a drunk. Nazarites had to grow their hair. Hair that was growing was a symbol of their life. They had given their lives to God for a particular period of time. During that time, they did not cut their hair. Their long hair showed that they belonged to God completely. Female Nazarites had long hair anyway. Probably they did not tie it up. They did not tie it up. But I thought, anyway, Nazarites had to avoid dead bodies. If an ordinary Israelite touched a dead body, he had to wash in a special liquid. That's in Numbers chapter 19. We'll get to that. But if someone died near a Nazarite, the Nazarite had to bring expensive offerings to God's tent. He had to shave off his hair, and he had to make his promises again, even if his time as a Nazarite had finished almost. He had to start again. Nazarites were holy, like priests. Nazarites could not enter God's tent or offer sacrifice. Priests wore special clothes, but Nazarites did not. People gave offerings to the priest. Nazarites did not receive offerings. They had to give offerings to the priest, too. When a person's time as a Nazarite was over, they gave the four main types of offering: the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, and the sin offering. Verses 22 through 27. This beautiful prayer is one of the most popular poems in the Bible. Both Jews and Christians still say it today. The prayer asks God's blessing. His blessing is life with him always. His blessing includes all that we need to live this kind of life. It includes all that we need to help other people. It includes strength to do what God wants, and it includes God's protection from bad things. We must not use God's gift to do things that are wrong and selfish. All of us deserve God's punishment for our sins, but God is kind. We can ask him to forgive us. He will answer that prayer always. If we are sincere, then we will know his peace. Jesus died to make this possible. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It is one of the most important words in the Hebrew language. It is a gift from God. We have peace when we obey God. God's peace helps us not to be anxious. Even when we are in danger, we feel content inside us. Whatever happens to us, God takes care of us. He provides everything that we need. And when we realize this, we have peace. Excuse me. We have peace. So these were two good chapters. I just thank and praise God for this. The prayer is a prayer like Prophetess Morin say, I say it all the time, or I read it all the time. Sometimes I just say it. It's a good thing, you know, because it's asking for that God bless us, you know, and keep us. And it's a good prayer. I mean, I love it because it hit all bases. But all of this stuff, it's nothing new up under the sun. And so all this unfaithfulness and all this stuff that some of us have in our marriages, I've had it in mind plenty of times. And if we was back in those days, we'll be dead before Jesus died. So, you know, you have to be careful. And you have to be watchful. You know, because you're in love with your husband, you ain't supposed to be unfaithful. And the husband in love with their wife, they're not supposed to be unfaithful. But the word of God says it. So before Jesus died for us, for our sins, it was death for anybody that was unfaithful. It was death. So, you know, it's a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to live under the grace, of God. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. And not that the Old Testament don't matter, because the Old Testament matters more to me than the New Testament, because the Old Testament is where we come from. The New Testament is where we're going. So, you know, it's a blessing. So does anyone have any questions or any comments? Mm-hmm. It's real good. And Nazarites are not priests. They're not like in the ministry, but they I guess they're just ordinary people that consecrate themselves. So, and like I said, Jesus was a Nazarite. He came from Nazareth. So it, you know, and it's just a blessing to I can say you might be called. They may have been called, but I feel like anytime somebody want to fast, I say fast, or consecrate themselves for the Lord, and they said that that's what they're going to do. That's how you make a vow unto the Lord. But when they did that, they had to keep it. And they didn't have to stay a Nazarite all their lives, but a great portion, I don't know how many years, but and it doesn't say, but they had to stay a Nazarite for a great length of time. Mm-hmm. So, yep. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we just thank and praise God for this opportunity to study His word. I got a lot of things on my mind, especially I need you all to be praying and everything. Just be praying for me, because I'm going to go in some warfare. I got to go into warfare for some people, praying for some people. And I know I'm going to be praying against this demon. I just need you all to keep me held up and lifted up in prayer, because I ain't playing with it. I ain't playing. Mm-hmm. It ain't no play thing. So anyway, I'm not going to hold you. We ain't got but a couple of minutes. I'm going to let you all go. We'll be right back here tomorrow night at same time for our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour. This was good. I really enjoyed tonight on reading this, because this just lets you know how they did things back then. And I'm really grateful to have learned a lot of this, even the more. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, I just thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask you to bless every member. Lord, I ask you tonight in the name of Jesus to cover every one of them, Lord. I ask you tonight to encamp your angels all around them, God, to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come right now, God, Lord, I come binding the strong man right now. Lord, I bind up every demonic force right now, God. Lord, I bind them up. I cast them out. I command them to go. Every demon on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I say it, your assignment is canceled right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up now. I cast you out now. I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to build hedges of protection around them. Lord, I ask you to release angels to enter every home, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to every member, in the name of Jesus. Release your angels to encamp at every door and every window, God, in every vehicle, God, in the name of Jesus. Then I ask you to cover every floor in every room of the house in the blood of Jesus, and even in the ceilings, on the wall, the blood of Jesus. And I ask you to just encamp angels. Lord, we just ask you to encamp angels all through every house, God. In the name of Jesus, we bind up everything that's not like you right now, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bind them up now, God. We cast them out and we command them to go in Jesus' name. So every demon, every evil spirit, I see you right now. Every spirit, I see you now. You need to just go and die right now. In the name of Jesus, go and die right now. Go away from that house right now. In the name of Jesus, I see you. And don't make me come. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. I just thank and praise God for you, 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 and you. You all have a blessed rest of the night, the evening, and I will be right back here tomorrow night, God, by the grace of God, at this very same time. You all have a good night. Love y'all.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you.